Well, hello, everyone. My name is Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, and welcome back with Dr. Brian Artis today to do a short interview called The Deep Dive that is solely and only for our premium podcast members. Now, I am quite sure that all of you know who Dr. Brian Artis is, but just on the 1 in 10 million chance that you don't, let me read a little short bio about Brian. Brian Artis is a retired chiropractor, certified acupuncturist, and nutritionist. In 2019, he started Artis Labs. Their motto is, we put our faith in God's healing power and all of the nature around us. When God created earth and man, he got it right the first time. You can follow all of his work and everything that he does, including his wildly popular podcast, The Dr. Artis Show. He's located with his lovely wife, Jane, who I really love to see both of them together when we're out and about and we're speaking at the same events. They both live in Dallas, Texas. He travels the world speaking out against pharma. Brian, thank you so much for coming back with us here today for just a few extra minutes, just for our premium podcast members. You're always so generous with your time. And I'm telling you, I could talk to you for days. It's probably more like months and never run out of things to talk about.
100%.
So we're going to talk about things that are a little bit more personal here, because we all know, well, people that follow you and have followed your incredible work about snake venom and remdesivir and all the different things that you do for a long time. So we've heard a lot about that, but we don't always know a whole lot about you. So why don't we just start with where were you born?
I was actually born in a little town called Gunnison, Utah.
And what was your childhood kind of like?
I was born in Utah, but my parents were visiting my grandparents. I was only there like 2 weeks when I was born. My family at the time was living in New Orleans. So I grew up moving every 2 years of my life or less. And my dad was in the hotel business and decided to climb the corporate ladder and took every new job opening at a different hotel. So I moved a lot as a child. So from New Orleans, 2 years later in Jacksonville, Florida, 1 year later in Smyrna, Georgia, back to New Orleans, and then back to Columbus, Georgia for a few years, then to Atlanta, Georgia. South Carolina is where I graduated high school. My parents, right after I graduated, moved to Boston. I'm only there 2 weeks when I go on my much anticipated for my whole life at the time, 2 year full-time Mormon mission, which I went to California for. I was in the Fresno, California mission, that whole San Joaquin Valley for 2 years. By the time I got off my mission, Sherry Tenpenny, my family had moved from Boston to Dallas, Texas, and that's where I came back to be with my siblings and my parents when I got off my two-year church mission. From there, I went to BYU in Utah, Provo, Utah, which is where you're going to spend some time here very soon. I went to BYU, and then from BYU went to Parker College of Chiropractic in Dallas, Texas. 2 or 3 years later, was in Tennessee, Maryville, Tennessee, with my practice. Sold that 5 years later, and I'm in Dallas, and have been here since 2009.
Wow. How many siblings do you have?
I am the oldest of five.
You're the oldest of five. Okay. So what is it, Brian, with all of your background, and I know that you kind of took apart the Mormon church at one point and got excommunicated and, you know, all the different things that you've done in business and in chiropractic, what drives you? And in this late day and all of the horrors, we were talking offline a little bit about, you know, it just seems like every day there's more things that are just awful on the horizon. What drives you and why do you stay in the fight no matter what it costs you?
Yeah, I think you and I, as we visit and get to know each other more and spend time like this, I think we'd actually figure out we were very similar. So I have grown up knowing there's something very different about me and the way I think about life. I personally love every day being alive. I mean, I actually love being alive and experiencing this life on earth as Brian Artis. Like, I love just being a human and enjoying life. I love it. However, I still am stuck in like this three-year-old mentality. You ever had a three-year-old? I've had five of them or been around a three-year-old. Those three-year-olds ask every second of the day, why? You can go, hey, three-year-old, it's time to go to bed. Why? And they'll go, because it's nighttime. And they'll go like, but why? And I'm like, well, it's nighttime because the sun went down. Why did the sun go down? You know, that's how I am, like, why? But why? So for me, I'll just give you an example. Sherry, when I was 8 years old, I'm traveling in a car with my mother to church on a Sunday morning, oldest of five. I'm only eight. There's like three younger siblings in the car with me. And we're going down this road that has a ton of car dealerships on it. And I'm 8 years old looking out the window, and my mind works like this 24/7. And I'm looking at all the car dealerships in Columbus, Georgia, driving to the church. And I look at my mom after going down Motor Mile Row. And I said to my mom while she's driving from the back seat, I said, "Hey, Mom, what's going to happen when all the car companies have made more cars than there are Americans to drive them and buy them?" And she looks at me, looks back at the road, and she says, "You are the weirdest kid. Why can't you just enjoy driving down the road to church and just look out the window or enjoy your thoughts?" And I said, "These are my thoughts." I said, "Do you know how fast they're pumping out a car out of every factory?" And she goes, "No." And I said, "It's less than 2 seconds." I said, "That's faster than human beings are giving birth to babies in America. So at some point, you're going to have more cars than there are people to buy them. What are the car companies going to do then?" This is not a joke. In 2010, my mother calls me and says, "Have you been watching the news?" And I said, "No, I don't watch the news." And she goes, "Have your patients been talking to you about what's in the news?" And I said, "No." And she goes, "Brian, all the auto manufacturers in the country are demanding bailout money from the government." And I said, "Well, that's not shocking." And she says, "Brian, I have been, every time I watch the news, I keep thinking about you saying when you were 8 years old, what are the auto manufacturers going to do when there's more cars than people to buy them?" And I said, "When I was a kid, they're all going to go bankrupt. And if they don't, they're going to have to go to other countries where there are no roads, and they're going to have to build roads and then start selling their cars to the people to use the roads, because those people don't have any cars. They're going to have to figure out other people to sell cars to." And I said, "Mom," I said, "yes, this is exactly what was going to happen. I don't know why people don't see this. Like, why don't they think about this ahead of time?" And my mom, anyway, this is just how my mind is. I think constantly why, and then future, what's the future outlook? So I don't know. That's just how my mind is. I constantly think why. So for example, when people lost their taste and smell during COVID, guess what my first question was? Why? It's never happened with any other virus on earth. Why is that happening? That's weird. Well, we learned you had to dig in and do some research to figure it out, but we figured it out. But it's just this why concept. Why? Why aren't smokers dying from COVID? You know what else is crazy, Sherry? Did you know someone else didn't die from COVID? Did you know no asthmatics died from COVID? Did you know asthma isn't even listed still to this day as a risk factor for COVID and never has been? Isn't that weird for a respiratory virus?
Yeah, exactly.
Isn't that weird? Do you know that in October of 2020, researchers wanted to know why asthma wasn't on CDC's risk factors for COVID? And they had to figure out why asthmatics didn't get COVID? Do you know what they figured out in October 2020 and published is the reason asthmatics don't get COVID? Because inside of asthma inhalers, anyone who uses that asthma inhaler one or two or three or four times a day never developed COVID. And they said it's because there's an excipient, an additive inside of asthma inhalers called EDTA. And EDTA is the preventative substance for COVID. And do you know what EDTA is published to do? It is the only thing published to 100% completely inhibit and destroy snake venom neurotoxins. Isn't that interesting? They didn't say that in that paper, but I'd already figured that out. Then later figured that out, that asthmatics were not actually susceptible to COVID. And I don't know if you know this. Did you see that the top two asthma inhaler drugs this week are being pulled from the market and being changed out for generics? And doctors around the country are shocked that the two most popular asthmatic inhaler drugs are being pulled from the market all of a sudden. I don't find that shocking. In September, I showed the whole world about the inhalers.
The generics don't have EDTA, right?
Exactly right.
So that leads me to my next question. In all of the research that you've done on remdesivir, and all of the, you know, over the last couple of years, the massive amount of research that you've looked into these snake venoms and spider venoms and venoms around the world, which you said to me offline that it's just shocking how these venoms are used in so many things. What do you think as you started investigating this and investigating this topic? And now when you've talked about investigating the light therapies, what has been some of your biggest aha moments? Just a couple, one or two that were like, "Oh my gosh, I can't even believe my eyes. I can't even believe what I'm reading."
Let's see, man, there's so many of those. I know you've had those moments too. Okay. Number one, May of 2020, I'm reading Dr. Anthony Fauci. His name's the top of a 3-paragraph memo, which is there's only one page on anything related to COVID on the NIH's website. Sherry, I couldn't believe that a health official in our government can go on public TV and publish online statements like this. Remdesivir was proven safe and effective against the Ebola virus and against COVID-19. I can't believe that he's allowed to say that and get away with that. Like, I cannot believe the amount of freedom individuals have to flat out 100% lie to a huge population of people. A lie that is so profound it can lead to your death. I cannot believe these individuals can go to bed at night, be allowed to come back on TV, allowed to go to their office, and still be hailed as some hero in a pandemic. I do not understand how these people can get away with this stuff. I don't get it whatsoever. I think if you and I projected a lie like that into the mainstream media, we would get in trouble. I don't get how you can throw out lies like that when, in fact, Remdesivir, for example, was never, even in the quoted hyperlinked study he provided as evidence in his memo in May of 2020, that it was actually safe and effective against Ebola. All I did was click the link in the paragraph, and I opened up the New England Journal of Medicine's research study that he was quoting. In the paper, it says Remdesivir is so toxic and so deadly, it is the most deadly drug in the trial. It is now being taken out of the trial halfway through the one-year trial. It didn't even make it to the end of the trial. So how it is he can flat out lie like that, even link the lie in his paragraph, to me, the monumental amount of deceit and outright lying by the governments of the United States and around the world has been, I had no idea that they could lie so
and get away with it. And they're still getting away with it.
Not, I still can't believe it.
So that kind of, brings up kind of the next question I want to ask you is that if you set aside some of the things that you've studied and you've learned and you take more of a 30,000 foot approach to just looking across the world, what do you think the biggest problem in the world is today?
Biggest problem in the world. I love this question, by the way. I actually like that you wrote this question to me to reflect on. I think the number one problem in the world today is a blind trust in science and man and a dismissal or a ignorance of, I'm not going to call it ignorance. I'm just going to call it what it is. Forgetting the power of God and his immense perfectness in his design of this earth and of our human bodies. I think the farther we have gotten away from God and the more faith we've put in man and science is why we are where we are today.
That's very well stated. You know, Brian, you're an incredible researcher and we've all kind of come from humble beginnings and kind of got launched into this platforms of being out there and having a really big audience for a bunch of people. You know, fast forward ahead, 80 years, because you're such a youngster. Go to the end of your life and you look back, whenever that is. I mean, we could get run over by a bus tomorrow. We walk out the front door of our house. But whenever that is, when you pass on, how would you like to be remembered?
Yeah, that's a hard question, I think, for most people. But I will tell you, this is exactly, if someone, which you just did, someone asked me that same question, this would be my response. I hope that what would be remembered is when people thought of Dr. Artis, they would think, man, this guy was unapologetic. He was relentless, one, in his faith in nature and God's creations. And then number two, he wasn't afraid of anyone or any narrative, and except for truth. I mean, I just love truth, and I absolutely 100% of the time, Sherry, people ask me about how they can be for my kids or about life, and I say, if in their relationships, I always say, if you will just focus on one thing, when in any moment in any day for any other human on earth, we are all a family, a huge human God-created family. And the bickering and arguing and fighting needs to stop and finger pointing. It just needs to quit. None of us are perfect. Only God's perfect. So stop acting like you're perfect. Don't think that you're perfect. All of us are very different, and God gave us this family for a reason. My statement to everybody, including my kids, my wife, my family, my siblings, you name it, all of my friends, in every moment of every single day, it doesn't matter what's come up, I need you to think, how can I be great for this human being? Doesn't matter who it is. In the moment, how can I be great for this person? And if it's simply to listen, hold their hand, cry with them, or let them cry, or let them, you know, fume. If it is making a phone call on their behalf, or providing a supplement to them, or education, or just quality time. How can you be great for those individuals? And I try to live my life that way. When you talk about the generosity of my time, I literally am trying to be great in every moment for everybody. Is there a question you have that I can hopefully provide some either inspiration to go do your own research or go look at, something to solidify an idea or to build on confidently an idea that you're reflecting on? In every moment of every single day, Dr. Artist tried to be great for me. And I will just tell you, one of the things that was the most rewarding looking back on the last 4 years is when I would go to events and speak, when people would come up or on Q&As or come up on stages, individuals would say all the time, I sent an email when my loved one or myself was in a hospital. I sent an email to a whole bunch of people and one person responded back to me, and it was Dr. Artis. I heard this over and over and over. He physically emailed me or would call me, and I was doing this for like hundreds of people every week, and I was just trying to be as great as I could for everybody on earth. I actually view life almost every single day. I'm sure you do too. When you ask me how many siblings do I have, I'm the oldest of five. Every single day, I feel like, how can I be a great older brother for the rest of the world?
Because
I absolutely wanted my younger siblings to have a great day every single day. I never wanted them upset. I never wanted their heart broken. I always wanted to defend them and lift them up and protect them and try to heal them even with issues. And this is how I feel like I want to be, and I enjoy being. It is very exhausting, but I constantly try to be great for other people, even those I don't know.
Well, that tells us a whole lot about who and what you are, Brian. It's not just this great researcher and incredible businessman that you are. I mean, it's the humanness and the human being with you, which brings up, I have two last questions for you here for our deep dive this morning. One is, you know, you've talked a lot about God. We know that you started out as a Mormon and you communicated from the church and all of those things, but share a little bit about your personal spirituality and what does God really mean to you?
Yeah, I was kind of excited about one of the questions you wrote. I will answer your question. One of the questions was one or two things that changed your life or aha moments in your life. Well, the church was one of those. So I won't talk about the aha moment here because that wasn't what you asked. But my spirituality with God, I'll just tell you right here, I have a very, very deep respect and awareness that God exists, that he designed me, and that he is very much spiritually connected to my spirit. And so I say this from stages all the time. I actually say, if you profess to believe that God is all-knowing and all-powerful and that he is really your father, what father on earth would ignore their child when they're asking them a question? So if you are in doubt, if you are confused, if you're anxious or you're panicking, get on your knees and ask God a question, and he will answer you. And I absolutely believe that he will answer any question at any time and will help guide his children amidst this chaotic world of mortality. So for me, I have a deep love, respect for my creator. I absolutely believe nothing is coincidental here and an accident. And I believe I am one of God's children that has been given spiritual gifts, empathetically, healing wise, and intuitively. And I absolutely, Sherry, the only reason why I'm in Dallas, Texas, the only reason why I'm a chiropractor is because God audibly has spoken to me. Like, I can hear it. It usually comes through in my right ear. It will actually come through from behind me into my hearing. And it is, every time I've heard it, it is very audible. And not all of us have the same impressions that we receive and are able to translate from God. Mine are audible. It's happened while I'm asleep. It's happened while I'm awake. It's on behalf of patients. It's dictated into the research I've actually been driven to. Every time that he speaks to me, every time I will follow it, even when I don't want to. He has told me to sell houses and move to other states, and I didn't want to. I fought it, didn't want to do it. I absolutely did it, but emotionally I didn't want it. And every single time, my life has been enhanced. The relationships and networking with other members of the human family have been expanded. Every single time, my life has been enhanced as a result of following God's whisperings to me.
That's wonderful. And we should all of us should pray to have eyes to see and ears to hear. And it's not just a eyes to see and ears to hear truth about humanity. It's to hear the voice of God. And you're right. It comes in various different ways. It could be at that exact moment you hear just the right song on the radio, or somebody calls you or sends you a text message, or, you know, something happens that you know, but by God is the only way that that could have happened.
Can I give an example of one time? Do we have time?
Sure.
Okay. So about a year ago, I actually woke up at like 5 a.m. and the thought running through my brain was, if they're using venom to make people sick around the world with COVID, what is the antidote if you go to an emergency center and you got bit by a snake? What is the antidote they give you, Dr. Timpani?
Anti-venom.
They give you anti-venom. All right. So my very next thought was, is, oh my God, if they knew they were orchestrating a massive amount of synthetic venoms around the world, calling it COVID, what would have been their vaccine antidote? It would be anti-venom. I woke up and I was like, wait a minute, is that what they proposed the COVID-19 shots were? So I looked up online, what are the side effects as a result of this impression in my sleep that woke me up? I am not a morning person. I wake up at 5 a.m. I go running to the computer and I start looking up, what are the published side effects of anti-venom? Imagine my shock. The very first thing that pops up is an NIH website paper titled, it's titled Symptoms of Serum Sickness. And I was like, what is serum sickness? This is an actual diagnosis. And I was like, serum sickness, what is that? I had to go research, what is serum sickness? Blood sickness. Serum sickness is a compilation of symptoms that occur within 5 to 14 days, as it is written by the NIH, 5 to 14 days after antivenom is administered. So someone gets a snake bite, you inject them with antivenom, they go home. 5 to 14 days later, you will get this collection of symptoms called serum sickness. And as I'm reading all the symptoms, lymphadenopathy, lymph node swelling, turbo cancers are a side effect within 14 days. Oh, the second thing though that they listed, I couldn't believe it. This was actually, for the first time ever in history, a word was used and pronounced in the 1880s. As a reaction to anti-venom therapy developed by Albert Calmette. Who worked for Louis Pasteur to develop the very first vaccines ever and the antidote to snake venom. He described a condition called myocarditis as a reaction to anti-venom therapy.
Oh my goodness.
And that is one of the tall tale symptoms of anti-venom therapy within 5 to 14 days of being administered by a shot anti-venom. You know what's crazy about that? What has been one of the most talked about side effects of the COVID-19 vaccines? Myocarditis. And all of a sudden, it was this huge aha moment. And then it went like this. Oh my God, this impression from God to go look up anti-venom as a treatment for snake bites. Is that what we're seeing as a correlation to vaccine injuries with COVID being used to treat venomous spike proteins? Sherry Timpani, in your research for vaccines, have you ever seen them ever say, once you get a vaccine, you're not considered vaccinated until 14 days after that shot?
No.
No, it's only ever been with the COVID-19 vaccines. They actually said after your second COVID-19 shot, you're not considered fully vaccinated until 14 days after you're vaccinated. And guess what range of time serum sickness occurs? Lymphadenopathy, myocarditis, and death, which are all side effects of antivenom therapy. Those all occur between days 5 and 14. This is why they had to tell us you're not considered fully vaccinated until day 14. That means any injuries that occur, myocarditis included, during 14 days after the vaccine, that's not a vaccine injury. You're not considered vaccinated until 14 days later. How in the world they got away with this is absurd. This is one of those aha moments for me that God inspired me with a thought, and I couldn't believe it. Myocarditis was defined as a real word in the 1880s as a result of anti-venom therapy for snake bites.
Unbelievable, Brian. It seems like we just go down this rabbit hole that just gets deeper and deeper and deeper. And that's why I keep saying that all of these people, all the elites, as we call them, or all the powers that be, they're smart people. They are not just randomly doing things and then go, oh, look at that. No, it's all been thought out and very carefully analyzed. I mean, they can engage with the most nefarious and also the smartest scientists in the world to do this research. And when they know what the outcome is to depopulate at least 50% of the planet, which is what their stated outcome was at the very beginning. And I've said, as you've heard me say it, 100 times, if they're going to go to all this money, all this trouble, and all this expense to kill off half of the population of the planet, they got to make sure that these young people don't do anything to refill up, back up the pot. Hence, all of the stuff with infertility, the turbo cancers in men, particularly the testicular cancers, and then the infertility of what's happening in the ovaries of young women. And we've both talked to Dr. Jim Thorpe and Dr. Kimberly Biss, and people have said that when they see these babies being born, they don't even know how the baby got lived long enough because the placentas just look like a wadded up calcified mess that they couldn't even believe carried oxygen and nutrients into the fetus. So, this is a well thought out satanic, horrible mess that has been created. And when I first started talking about this back way at the very beginning of 2021, after the shots first started in 2020, in December of 2020, and then I started talking about it widely at the beginning of 21, people asked me, so when do you think you're going to see all these deaths and things, Dr. Tenpenny? People aren't just, and I said, well, the first rounds of deaths are people that died within the first 48 hours. That's pretty well documented. The next wave is going to be about 3 years from now. And we're starting to see the hockey stick of the young people just dropping over dead for no apparent reason.
Sure.
I saw the article the other day that a dentist, dropped over dead in his dental office in the middle of doing a procedure. I mean, there's just, I think 2024 is going to be, people send me all these articles. It's like, stop sending them. They're not one-offs. This is like one of a series. So, with all of this diabolical stuff that's going on in the world, Brian, and the last question I'll ask you here as our time is kind of coming to a close, is what words of wisdom or what words would you like to offer our listeners as we close out our deep dive conversation this morning?
Number one, I actually said this 4 years ago. If you want the pandemic to end, turn off your TVs and turn off your social media. So I would encourage people to start doing research on their own of how they can improve their health. There is nothing, hopefully, that is more on the forefront of people's minds right now than taking care of their own health in preparation for what they are telling you and propagandizing with you through the media of their upcoming plagues and their upcoming pandemics. They're already going to start scaring you about other variants of COVID, Ebola outbreaks, and Marburg pandemics. Yes, they are going to orchestrate these. What you don't know is there's individuals like Dr. Sherry Timpany, like myself and others, who are researching how to keep your family safe at home, keep your immune systems as strong as possible, keeping toxins and unhealthy foods out of your body as much as possible, because there are answers in nature that God gave us to all problems man will create. God, I believe, is smarter than man, and I believe he already knew how we would be behaving with each other on this earth, how we would be influenced by evil and by Satan and by Lucifer, how men would be actually played by him as puppets for his deceit. So please, for the love of God, trust God, get more spiritually grounded and connected with your Savior, with your God, and also spend time in scripture, also spend time in meditation with yourself and in prayer, and keep your loved ones close to you, and do not ever fall for the narrative to avoid other human beings and don't gather in groups. That is one of their most powerful tools of deceit, is to make you not trust others and to even in your own families and your own relationships. So keep your families and your friendships close. Always keep those very close. No matter what man wants to tell you is the reasons to not trust the others. Trust in God, trust in nature, and then do your own research. If I really had to say something, don't trust a single soul on earth except God and yourself. And go do your own research after you learn stuff and see. Get on your knees, go into the closet, close the door, pray to God and ask them, I've watched this in mainstream media. I've watched this on social media. I'm listening to Dr. Anthony Fauci, the NIH. I'm listening to all these people, the CDC. They're telling me this one thing. Dr. Timpany and Dr. Artis are telling me this other thing. I've gone now and done my own research like they told me to. I have all this information. God, what should I do? There's nothing more powerful, I think, at helping us survive the evil in the world than those simple steps.
That's very well said, Brian. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for being my friend. You know, you're more than just a celebrity to me. You're actually a friend, and we actually have like really meaningful conversations when we get together, just like we did this morning on our This Week with Dr. T, and also with the deep dive for our premium podcast members. So I want to thank you so much for being here. We know that we can find you and everything that you're doing by going to drartist.com, right? Is there someplace else that you want to direct somebody from the end of this?
Yeah, it's actually thedrartistshow.com. That whole word spelled out just like that, the Dr. Artist Show without the period. And then it's Healing for the Ages Conference. Go to thehealingfortheages.com, healingfortheages.com. That information and the Dr. Artist Show.
And with that, I want to close with one of my favorite verses from the Bible. I try to close all my podcasts with this. It's Romans 12:12. Rejoice in hope, be patient in trouble, because trouble will come, and be persistent in prayer. So until the next time, lean into God, trust him for everything. He will never let you down. So have a great week, everyone. We'll see you again next week, the same place, same time. So good afternoon, good evening, and God bless. Thank you so much. Thank you, Brian. Have a good week.
In a time when truth is censored, one name stands out, Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, the relentless seeker of knowledge and defender of freedom. Explore groundbreaking findings at drtenpenny.com. Ignite your mind with riveting podcasts, explosive articles, research-driven substacks, webinars, ebooks, and more. In an era plagued by environmental toxins and vaccine-related exposures, Dr. Tenpenny has expertly crafted a selection of safe detox protocols that facilitate profound healing at a cellular level. It's time to cleanse, rejuvenate, and restore your body vitality. With heart damage on the rise, Dr. Tenpenny introduces nationwide ECP therapy to repair hearts and achieve optimal health. Seize the opportunity and embrace the wealth of resources, information, and health recommendations awaiting you at drtenpenny.com, and become a Tenpenny podcast member to join our mission in the quest for uncensored truth, the health of our nation, and medical freedom.